When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, our spirit is possessed, is filled with the Holy Spirit, who is now ready to move through us in 9 basic ways. 3 ways through our speech, 3 ways through power, and 3 ways through knowledge. And we've said that when we're baptized in the Spirit, usually the first gift we receive is the gift of tongues, letting the Spirit praise God through us, as he did in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, authenticated by the church and certainly validated by the experiences of many cardinals, Cardinal Sunens, for example, many bishops pray in tongues, thousands of priests, hundreds of thousands of lay people, a gift that's very much dynamic in the church today. That sensitizes us to all the other gifts as we praise the Lord. Shahandaralandalandada. Now, we go to the Father in praise through the gift of tongues because God is love. 1 John 4:16. We know that one of the qualities of love is communication. We know that the Father wants to communicate with us. Now, that's a surprise to many people. But any time we have trouble with any one of the gifts, we go back to the basic teaching, 1 John 4:16. God is love. That's the definition of God. That's the starting point. He is pure love. He wants to communicate because the very nature of love is to communicate. Those of you who are married, you know, you had a period of courting where you just spent so much time sharing with each other ideas, ideals, emotions, desires, aspirations, and the more you shared, the more you were drawn together in love. The more we open to the love of the Father, the more he wants to communicate to us through the Spirit. So we go to him in the Holy Spirit through the gift of tongues. He comes to us in the gift of prophecy. What is prophecy? It is the Holy Spirit within us speaking to the community through our voice. So that when Christians come together in a prayer group, or just come together, even two, we've even seen it with two people coming together and praising God in tongues. We go to the Father who loves us. And this is where many of us have problems of faith. God is pure love. He loves me. He wants more things for me than I want for myself. He wants infinite happiness for me in the kingdom. Yes, God is love. We can't even begin to understand him. He's so beautiful and so loving. So he wants to speak to you through you to the community, so that as we gather together in prayer groups, like in Acts 2:42, we might look at Acts 2:42, which is a sign of the early Christian community. Acts 2:42, they spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship, sharing in the fellowship meals and prayers. Many miracles and wonders were being done through the apostles, and everyone was filled with awe. So that the Father wants to speak to any group that gathers together to praise and worship him. Now that really surprises many people. But if you look at 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 on, make love your aim, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, the charisma, especially that you may prophesy. So Paul's saying, seek after the gift. Now, would he tell us to seek after if we're not available? By the very act of baptism, we surrender to the Lord. The Spirit is now ready to move through us in 9 basic ways. The first is tongues. The second, generally, is prophecy. The Lord will speak to the community through a person. And we're going to do a workshop in this and ask the people on video to do a workshop, and you will be surprised, because the Lord will speak to the community because he's love. And if you're having trouble with the spiritual gifts, it's often because you're having trouble with a basic understanding of God as love. We make God to our own image and likeness. We so limit him and constrict him. All right, in my book on prophecy, I list some basic things that when we come together to praise God, we should be very sensitive because he's going to speak. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, I'm repeating myself, Paul says, seek eagerly after love, set your heart on spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophesying. Why? Because conversation, communication builds love. The more you communicate with a person, the more you get to know them, the more you get to love them when they're open and honest. Isn't that true? If you're having trouble in your marriage, it's probably a breakdown in communication, according to the experts. Huh? The more we communicate with a person on a deep level, the more we are joined to them, the more we appreciate them and love them. So I know many people are saying, well, I don't know if I believe all this. I've been a good Catholic all my life, and this is kind of shocking to me. And just cooperate with God's love. I'm putting my money on the Lord more than I hand on you. Don't worry about, well, I'm so unworthy, Father. I don't use my church envelopes on Sunday. I feel so guilty. We have so many low self-esteem. I've never been able to do anything right in my life. And look at, focus on the Lord. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off yourself onto the Lord. Again, God, he loves you more than he loves yours. Then you love yourself, and he wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. The Lord has so many good things for you. If you told me years ago I would be doing what I'm doing, going around the world, giving priest retreats, having priests come into a whole new awareness of their priesthood, I would say, you're crazy. In fact, when I was first ordained, I said, Lord, I'll do anything, but I don't want to work with priests. Never say never to the Lord. Father Richard Rohr, when he was first ordained, said, Lord, I'll do anything, but I don't want to work with young people. He spent his whole priesthood working with young people up until recently. So if you feel that, don't say it out loud. The Lord may hear you. Nextly, be open to the Lord's action. He who prophesies speaks to men for their upbuilding, their encouragement, and their consolation. 1 Corinthians 14:3. One author says that we come together to edify each other. And what does edify mean? Well, he was saying it's a Greek word that is a lot like charging up. You know how you have a dead battery? Someone pulls their car up to yours, they put battery cables, and your dead battery comes to life as they energize your batteries. That's what edify means. Paul says, edify the brethren. Charge them up. Let them be more open to the stirring of the Holy Spirit within them, according to 2 Timothy 1. So Paul says the three goals of prophecy are to upbuild. Now I'm going to give you some prophecies that I've heard that illustrate this point. First of all, to upbuild. This was a prophecy that came out in a workshop. Let your heart sing with praise, my people, for the Lord your God rejoices in you. Let your hearts babble with praise and love unto me. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your hearts sing with alleluias. My people rejoice in me. It's very upbuilding. The second goal of prophecy, according to Paul, is encouragement. Now, this was a prophecy that was given to me. Know that I go before you. Know that I go before you to prepare your way. Follow me. Follow in my path. Follow me. And know that I am with you wherever you go and whatever you do. And that's really encouraging. The third goal of prophecy is consolation. Here's a prophecy we heard in a workshop. Let my peace fill you. Let the cares and troubles of the world fall by the wayside. Keep your eyes focused on me and on my love for you. In the quietness of your heart, allow my spirit to minister to you. So we're only saying, be open to God's message. God is love. He wants to communicate himself to you. And many people say, well, I don't believe that. Do you go to communion on Sunday? Yes. Who do you receive on Sunday? Jesus Christ. If you believe you receive Jesus Christ, whole and entire, the Son of God, in Holy Communion, why are you so upset about a lesser gift? This is a lesser gift. As St. Augustine says, we receive the giver of all gifts in Holy Communion. This is a much lesser gift. See, we have no problem with, oh, I received Jesus Christ on Sunday in Eucharist. And then we say, well, I don't know if God would be that good to give me that gift. These are all lesser things. but they're intended to help you minister to people, to be Jesus, in a sense, to people. Now, our time, of course, is very limited on this video, and I know there are so many questions. I'm trying to give you the bare essentials, but I believe that if I give you the essentials, bring you into the practice, open you up so that the Lord can speak through you, then you read books and listen to tapes to flesh out the knowledge, because it's a precious gift and it's important to understand what you've received. Otherwise, you treat it very cavalierly and lightly. When you come into community, and we're going to form a little community later, we're going to get in a circle. Now, when you prayed for tongues, you could hold hands or put your hands in the air, but prophecy is a much more delicate gift. It demands a greater sense of unity and community, because the more love there is between people, the more the Spirit moves, so that we will put our arms around each other's waist. We'll get into a tight sense of unity and community and invite the Spirit to move. And so a sense of community is very important. When you come into a prayer group, for example, your seating is very important. The closer you are together, the more sense of unity and community. You know, we say sometimes Catholics come to Mass early to get the last seat. But what happens, if you notice, after they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, they move to the front of the church. Now they want to come closer. They want to get closer. All right. When we get in community, the first thing we're going to be aware of is the anointing of the Spirit, the stirring of the Spirit, which we call the anointing. What is the anointing? It's the Spirit moving within us, by which we perceive that something is happening. It's either a physical anointing. Your heart may beat, you may get cold chills, or you may feel warmth in your hands or tingling in your body. In some way, you get a physical sensation that something is happening. Or you get an emotional sensation, a sense of awe, a sense of reverence, a sense of expectation, a sense of fear, a sense of joy. Or you get a psychological anointing, which would be a conviction. I don't feel anything, but I know in my spirit that this is the Lord. That's what I usually get by way of an anointing. Not a physical, not an emotional, but a psychological, a deep conviction. This is the Lord. Or you may get a spiritual anointing. A sense of the Lord's love just touches you, or the Lord's presence. You may get one anointing, two, three, or four. But in some way, the Spirit is saying, wake up now, I'm coming. And people say, Father, how can I stand up and say, this is the Lord speaking through me? First of all, we know by experience that when you're baptized in the Spirit, you get all nine basic gifts of the Spirit, which really belong, I believe, to the sacrament of confirmation. All we're doing now, we should have received in the sacrament of confirmation. And in the future, hopefully, young people will be confirmed at 18, 19. They'll have the gifts of the Spirit, and then they'll go out on the missions for 2 years, just like the Mormons do. They will give 2 years of their life to the church. I know in East Malaysia, Bishop Anthony Lee told me he has 22 young men living with him. When they were baptized in the Spirit, they made a commitment to him to give 2 years to the church, and they go all through his diocese, which is a lot of jungle diocese, and they give seminars on life in the Spirit, getting people baptized in the Spirit into tongues and into charismatic gifts. 80% of the people in his diocese are baptized in the Spirit. That's the way it should be. We should receive the Holy Spirit and give ourselves to Jesus Christ in a real way. And 2 years on the missions would just change the lives of everyone. You just can't get out and minister and not be changed. When you see Jesus in the Spirit working through you, it just gives you the greatest satisfaction you can have, I think, in the face of this earth. You get the anointing. That's the Lord saying, I'm moving through you. Pay attention. Then you begin to hear words in your mind. I generally get one or two words, like, my child. And when I say that, the rest flows out. Some of you will get a sense in your mind, a sentence. Now, we've prayed and asked the Lord to release us. We've got the anointing. We begin to hear the words, but these words are unusual words. They're in the first or second person, such as, my children, I want to heal you this weekend. My beloved, I am in your midst blessing you. Be open to me. The words are always in the first or second person, such as, I am the shepherd of your soul, or you are my beloved children. Now, those words obviously don't come from you. You don't walk around all day saying, my children, I love you. You don't think that way. So when words come into your mind after the anointing, and the words that are very unusual, the words of direct communication, I bless you, or you are mine, they have to be from the Lord. Are you going to believe it? No. You say, I must be making it. Now listen, you know, what kind of work did you do, brother? You're a dentist. What kind of work did you do, Bob?
I was a training representative at oil refinery.
All right, now you want to know about dentistry? You see Brian? You want to know about oil ministry, oil industry? You see, Bob, you know, want to know about prophecy? See me. It's how I make my living. And I've had thousands of people go through these seminars. And most of them say, no, it must be me making it up. Don't be making God in your image. Have a more expanded understanding of God, the Father's love. He loves you. He wants to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. And you can tell him I said so. Because of his love. We limit his love so much. The Lord is going to speak. So I want you to step out in faith, and the principle is give what you get. Whatever you hear, speak out. Because prophecy is speaking the word of the Lord out to the community or to another individual. There are three levels of prophecy. We're working on the community prophecy. We're in a group. The Lord speaks to the community through you. The Lord speaks to the community through you. You hear the words after the anointing in the first or second person, which would be very unusual, or you see an image. About 20% of the people see a vision or an image. Say, I see such and such. It might be Jesus walking around blessing each person. Whatever you see, you speak out. Whatever you hear, you speak out. But speak out so you can be heard, because prophecy is delivering the word of the Lord to the community or to another individual. Give what you get is the rule. The only thing you can do wrong is after the anointing, hearing words in the first or second person, you hold back. You hold back. Now, I allow for that because we're frail human beings, contaminated by original sin and really hurt and broken. But the ideal is to give what you get, to speak out. You can do nothing wrong in this workshop. I accept full responsibility before God for it. Except hold back. If you fulfill the conditions of the anointing and the words in the first or second person, speak out. Because the Lord expects us to do the best we can, and that's all he expects. If we make a mistake, the Lord is not upset. We're upset, he's not upset. A child learns to walk by walking, he learns to write by writing, he learns to swim by swimming, he learns to cycle by cycling, he learns to prophesy by prophesying. That's the human method. Just do the best you can. But I'm amazed at the Lord's love and his goodness. All right, you'll hear the words in your heart. But what we'll do, of course, is to clear our minds, is to pray in tongues first. See, we'll pray in tongues. We get in a circle, and that clears our mind, because I know a lot of you are thinking about lunch, what you're going to have for lunch, chili beans, if they have onions on the chili beans at the restaurant. So to clear our minds, we'll just pray in tongues. All right, now, I'm introducing you to basic prophecy. Later we'll check the prophecy and see, did it bear good fruit? Did it touch you spiritually? Did it touch you psychologically? Did it touch you physically? How many were healed? Huh? Does it bring you closer to the Lord? Does it give you a desire to pray more, to be more yielded to the Holy Spirit, to be more into the Scriptures? If it bears good fruit, it must be of the Lord. Now, some of you are afraid that you'll make fools out of yourself, huh? That you might stand up and start speaking God's word and say, at Sunday Mass. No, prophecy is always under the prophet's control. 1 Corinthians 14:32. You can prophesy in turn so that everyone will learn something and everybody will be encouraged. Prophets can always control their prophetic spirits. You're never going to speak out of turn. such as standing up at Sunday Mass and saying to the priest, "My son, prepare your sermons better." You're never going to do that. If you do it, don't mention my name. I know you're not going to do it. All right. But in a prayer meeting, you pray for the appropriate time and when you should give prophecy. Say, "Lord, let me speak out these words when you want me to." Now we're just going to do a little workshop, which means we're all going to pray in tongues, wait for the anointing, and then speak out the prophecy as we hear it, just to by way of demonstration. Another thing that's very helpful is if you confirm each other's prophecy. In a mature prayer meeting, when a person speaks a prophecy, there'll be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 confirmations. People say, "I confirm that." They're getting the same essential message in their mind, or they're getting the same essential message in Scripture. I say, "I confirm that." And that helps the community know that, yes, this is the Lord, because a number of people are being touched by it. In my book on chapter 4, I make an acrostic out of prophecy to sum up. P, the P of prophecy stands for the definition. What is prophecy? It's the Lord speaking directly to the community or to an individual through a person. Now, can it be Scripture? Sometimes it's Scripture, sometimes it isn't, sometimes it's a mixture. Although I know none of you will do this, rarely I've heard on a couple of occasions people standing up and quoting their favorite Scripture. That's not prophecy. Prophecy is the Lord speaking directly to the community through a person. It's regularly found in everyone who's baptized in the Spirit, because that's what baptism in the Spirit is. It's kind of an explosion in your spirit where the Spirit penetrates your whole spirit. You give him the freedom to move, and now he's going to move through you in 9 basic ways. Oh, prophecy is not given to you because you're holy. It's given to you for other people. All charismatic gifts are to build the body of Christ. So you can't say, "I'm not worthy," because you're only an instrument, and the Lord's using anyone, even unworthy people, if you want to say it that way, because he wants to minister to his people, because God is love. P, Paul encourages the Christians to prophesy. He told the Corinthians, "Prophesy, but always in good order." In good order. No, not 2 at a time, but 1 at a time, so the community can hear the word of the Lord. H, prophecy is in the heart more than it's in the head. And the danger is saying, "Now let's see, is that me or is that the Lord?" You've got the norms that I've given you. You've prayed for prophecy. You've got the anointing. You hear the words in the first or second person. Speak them out. It's effective. E of prophecy stands for effective. It brings a sense of the Lord's presence and love. It touches the community. It energizes the community. It raises the community to a new level of wanting to praise God. And it brings a lot of healing. C of prophecy stands for it's under the control of the speaker. You'll never be out of control. You should never be out of control. Y of prophecy stands for you. John 15. You shall bear good fruit that remains. So that you should be able to say, "Yes, the Lord speaks through me occasionally or at prayer meetings because I've been baptized in the Spirit, I yielded to tongues, and now the Lord is completing what we call the charismatic cycle." The charismatic cycle is conversation between the community and the Lord. We go to him, we praise him in the Spirit in tongues. He wants to communicate to us, and he will, through prophecy, which is this Father speaking through the Spirit to the community. He'll speak to us through Scripture. He'll speak to us inspired teaching and preaching. He speaks through the words of songs. He speaks to us many ways. But the skeleton of a prayer meeting, I believe, is basically in the charisms. We go to the Father in tongues. He comes to us in prophecy. All this is being done in the Holy Spirit, and there's the power. All right, so I'm going to ask in the remaining 2 minutes that those people who said yes, they would participate, come up here, and we will do our demonstration right now, and the people on the video in their homes can do the same thing. It's the same Holy Spirit. So just come right up here now, and we're going to form community, arms around each other's waist. Now, you wouldn't do this in a prayer meeting necessarily, but in the training session, in the workshop, you want to do this to get a deep sense of community. We're going to pray briefly in the Spirit, wait for the anointing, and speak God's word. We prayed, wait for the anointing, and then speak out the words you hear in the first or second person. Thank you for those tongues, huh?
My children, this day I lift you up. I remove burdens from your shoulders. I remove pain from your heart. My children, this day I lift you up.
My children, I thirst for you, my children. Open your hearts to me, and I will send you my peace, my love, my joy, and my healing.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Be not afraid, my people, for I am in your midst as a loving father. I am indeed your loving father. Know that I hold you tenderly. Do not be afraid of being bruised or hurt. Yield to my love. I am indeed your tender father.
Thank you, Lord.
My children, I want you to walk by faith, and I want you to trust me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. What anointing did you feel, Linda? You gave tongues and interpretation, which are equal to prophecy. What kind of anointing did you feel?
I felt a stirring in my spirit, a physical sensation.
Nina, what did you feel?
Yeah, well, I'm trembling all over.
Trembling. All right. And I had just a conviction this was the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you that you do want to speak to all of us through each other, and we open ourselves totally to the gift of prophecy. Amen. We continue now working on prophecy. I have here some people from the audience who do not have the gift of prophecy expressed. They have the gift within themselves. They've been baptized in the Spirit. They pray in tongues. They know that they have this gift within them. Now we're helping them open up to the gift. And that's what a workshop is. A workshop merely leads the person to surrender and be open to the action of the Spirit. And I asked for people who wanted to come up. They don't have the gift of prophecy expressed, but we'll do something that will help them express this gift that they have within them. And we invite the people who watch the video to do the same thing. You can do the same thing. 1 Corinthians 14:22 to 25. Thus tongues are a sign not for the believers, but the unbelievers. While prophecy is not for the unbelievers, but for the believers. If therefore the whole church assembles and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enters, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters in, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his hearts are disclosed, and so falling on his face he'll worship God, which is the goal of all the gifts, and declare that God is really among you. So what we're going to do is follow the norms that we've already set down. We're going to pray in tongues. I'll clap my hand. You wait for the anointing, either the physical anointing, the psychological anointing, the emotional anointing, or the spiritual anointing, or a combination. Whatever you hear in the first or second person, speak out, because this is prophecy for the community. This is communal prophecy. And if this were a prayer meeting, we would close the circle and we would just pray and we would have these words. But we're doing a demonstration, so we're going to leave the circle open. So let's all pray now in tongues, asking the Lord to speak to us through to the community. Wait for the anointing and speak out what you hear in the first or second person.
My children, go out to all the ends of the world. I will use your hand. I will use your feet. You will see signs and wonders that will work through you.
Thank you, Jesus.
My child, do not be afraid. I will be with you.
My children, come with me. Walk with me into the valley of happiness. I love you.
You love me.
My people, I am here with you. I am amongst you. Come to me. I am here for you.
Shandana, I will lay my hands upon them. That sometimes helps people to heal. Shandana. Don't be afraid to speak out what you think you're hearing in the first or second person.
My joy is your strength and my love is your power.
Thank you. Lord, we ask you to just open all of us up so we can really flow in your spirit. Whatever you think you're hearing, speak up.
Open your hearts to me.
Thank you, Jesus. We ask for the grace to be open, to step out in faith, Lord, not to be afraid of falling on our face. Thank you, Jesus.
For us all.
That's what you're getting. Speak out, would you? For us all. Sometimes somebody will get another part of that. So you give what you get. For us all.
My love is for us all.
There it is. My love is for us all. That's what you were getting. Thank you, Jesus. Confirmation. Love is for us all. Give what you get. That's all you can do is give what you think you get. Thank you, Jesus. That's everybody then, isn't it? Did you give something, Gloria?
The only thing I keep seeing is a cross.
You give what you get. What did you see?
Just a cross. Really bright, that's all.
Okay, now you can ask the Lord for the interpretation. Lord, we ask for the interpretation of that. It could come from someone else, or it could come from you, but always give what you get. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to give the interpretation. Did anyone get the interpretation of her vision? Stand up and speak.
I am your salvation.
That's what you heard when she said that. You got the interpretation of the vision. Fine. Okay. Now, those who are home watching the video, this is a tremendous act of stepping out in faith, so that when you form your group and you do this, and maybe one or two don't hear anything, or they don't think they hear anything, don't be discouraged, because this is extraordinary manifestation of faith. Next time around, they will probably be healed of the fear or whatever is blocking them. All right, now I want you to break into twos. Yeah, it's easy. Man and woman, man and woman. Okay. I want you to hold each other's hands. Repeat the process. Now we're asking the Lord to speak to that person through you. Close your eyes, pray in tongues. Shandada-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dee-dee-dee. Shandada-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dee. Shandada-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da. Speak out loud so that I can pick you up on the microphone when you get a message for that other person.
My daughter, be not afraid, for I am with you.
I love you, my child. You please me in ways that you do not comprehend. I am with you. Follow me all the days of your life.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you love us so much.
My child, I am your Savior. I come to heal you with your pains, heartaches, and burdens.
Lord, we thank you that you want to encourage us and edify us. Just pray you touch each person here.
Don't be afraid to speak out what you think you're hearing.
I hold your child close to my heart.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Beloved son, I love you.
Can you repeat that, Gloria?
Beloved son, I love you.
Thank you, Lord.
Child, take courage. I will always be with you.
Thank you, Lord.
You're my special gift.
Want to repeat that, please,
Father? You are my special gift.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I love you, my daughter.
Grow in strength through me.
Okay. You think you're hearing anything, Trish? Okay, it's okay. Lord, we ask you to just touch Trish. Just open her up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. For the sake of time, what I think we'll do is an evaluation. Ask everyone to just face the camera again. All right. Now, anybody want to... anyone, Trish, you getting something? Oh, okay.
I wish I could.
Oh, okay, no problem. See, this is good. If we had perfect... everybody was perfect, then people at home, if they weren't perfect, say, oh, well, we did something wrong. No, we're groping, trying to follow the Holy Spirit. It's a journey. It's a journey. So we do the best we can, leaving it to the Lord. So never become discouraged, which is the biggest trick of the enemy. He usually gets you from behind. He hits you over the head with the baseball bat of discouragement and say, oh, I'm going to give up. Huh? That kills most people. Discouragement. Discouragement. And the Lord wants us to be encouraged. All right, now, does anybody want to share what anointing you got when you gave the community prophecy? What did you feel by way of stirring physically, psychologically, or spiritually, or emotionally? Just anybody want to share? What did you feel?
It was warm all over my body, and I feel like crying.
Okay, that's physical and emotional. Connie?
My whole body was just totally weak, and I still just feel like I'm on fire.
Physical, so you could feel it, physical. Anybody?
I was very nervous, and then when you asked everyone if that was everyone, I said, well, not me, I didn't get anything. And then you asked me, and when I said that in my mind, you asked me, and I went, maybe I should say what I think I thought. And so I said, and then I'm very nervous. I still feel very, very nervous, very shaky.
I'm the one who should be nervous, not you. My life is on the line here. Anyone else? What anointing, what sensation did you feel? Elias?
I feel an electrifying sensation to my body.
Okay.
Very warm.
Anyone else?
I don't have it that easy because I don't feel anything. And then when I said it, I didn't want to say it because I was afraid it was from me and not the Lord. And then after I said it, how I know it was from the Lord is because I kept saying it over and over to myself because it was something being said to me. And I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds good. And I could feel the overall message in it, but not until afterwards. So it's
okay.
Like I have to step out myself, and
yeah.
It's really hard to do that.
But you felt satisfaction or a sense of peace.
Yeah,
yeah, that's very unusual to get it afterwards. But nonetheless, we go with what we get. Anyone else?
A welling up, just
knowing. I don't know, just a welling up of, and a sensation of knowing.
Would you say conviction? This is right, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
What I get. It's a psychological.
That's what I get too, Father.
You get as a conviction,
yes.
Yeah, this is good, this is true, this is of the Lord.
Yes, Father.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Now, does anybody want to share what you got when you prayed for the individual? What type of anointing did you get when you prayed over that your partner?
I got a love that's indescribable. And then when the Lord said to me, "I have your child in my heart," I felt that what the Lord was saying, not his. I don't even know if he has a child, but it wasn't. That wasn't what the Lord meant. I felt the Lord meant his child heart.
The inner child.
Yeah.
How could be the inner child?
I took it. My son has been gone for a couple of years. I haven't met him. You know.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just felt like, because I didn't know, maybe that's me, because I didn't know if he had a child.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's my interpretation.
No.
I felt it was his child
nobody,
heart or something.
Nobody,
what do you feel? It basically, in a question like this, it's what the person feels, because the Lord was speaking to you. What do you feel he was saying?
Well, I haven't seen my son for a couple of years. Nobody has. He's just been missing. And so it's...
How does that make you feel? What she said to you?
It makes me feel peaceful and love.
Peaceful. Then it's of the Lord if it makes you feel peaceful. And we'll all pray that that will work out, huh?
Mine was much the same. It was the welling up and,
welling
and knowing.
Up.
And knowing.
Just comfort.
The comfort. Now we're talking about the anointing you had when you prayed over your partner.
A deep love and a sense of a great future for him. Like he was on some kind of a journey and he was going to be so close to the Lord.
Yeah. Brian?
I felt just a real deep warmth and a love also and a contentment.
Okay, Trish, you had to...
And I was feeling like I was trying too hard.
Yeah, that can happen. You know, you're a nurse, aren't you, by profession? See, very intellectual, very scientific. We find scientific people, like, and also people that deal with math, like accountants, they have a little trouble with this because it's just total surrender and you're so used to dealing with scientific evidence.
I feel a sympathy when I mentioned when I mentioned burden and this lady said
okay.
She just pressed my finger.
Press you. Okay, now the message that was given to you, what did you feel when you received the message?
I felt very good because I think I really needed that message.
What was the message?
The message was that he loved me and he was with me.
Okay.
I didn't feel anything when I gave it to him. It's like, but
now, what did you feel when he gave it to you?
When he gave it to me, I was very nervous. So I felt peaceful.
All right.
I was very happy.
Okay.
I'm hoping somebody wrote it down.
Love.
I knew it was from the Lord because the word gift has deep meaning to me. It was a very personal meaning. It wasn't just superficial.
Yes.
Acceptance. I've heard the message before, and I know it was right.
See, that's good. Prophecy will usually be confirmatory of what you've been hearing or touch you deeply. Touch you deeply. And also, I suggest those who are in the homes watching the video that you take people that don't know each other for these exercises. And that way, when the word comes, the person is going to say, That person has to be from the Lord because they never knew that that's what was going on in my heart, is the case of the child over here. If it's your wife praying over a husband, the husband's going to say, oh, she heard me say that in my sleep. She's just... Whereas it's somebody you don't know, you know it's really from the Lord.
I feel encouragement.
And you felt peace?
Confirmation, I guess.
Confirmation.
Of faith and joy. I've come to a point in my life where I have to have a lot of faith, and I've learned to have faith with joy, and he said that to me.
Yes. Beautiful. So the Lord is confirming. Okay, so here what we see is a workshop on prophecy, community prophecy, and individual prophecy, and of course we did one on personal prophecy. Does anybody have any questions? And again, I'd ask you to come up so that we could get this on tape, and the people will benefit by this, the people in the watching the video. Anybody have any questions about anything we've done on prophecy, tongues and interpretation? Just come and line up right here. I wish we could say we have a $100 bill for each question. That would expedite things. What was your question?
I want to know, what do you do when you feel like you're being blocked? How do you get past the block?
It would be good to know somebody who's in the inner healing ministry, and they would be able to pray and ask the Lord, what's the block? Would you like to have that done?
Sure.
Would you like to have it done right now?
Sure.
Linda is very good on inner healing. Just ask the Lord, stand right there and pray and ask the Lord if he'll reveal to you the block, and then we'll continue with the questioning over here. And you can share with us. Just step over here while they do the inner healing.
Does prophecy, is it always spoken, or can you have like a mental picture?
You can have a vision or a picture, and you just say what you see. Like Gloria said, I see the cross. And sometimes you can give a part of the picture, and someone else will say, well, I saw a light coming. Now I see the light coming from the cross. In other words, you give what you get. And leave it to the Spirit to piece it together. Some people want everything at one time, and that's good, but sometimes you get a pod.
Many times I feel so judgmental when I'm trying to interpret or
dwell on the prophecy.
Give me an example of that.
As if, oh, you're not good enough, or I don't believe it.
You, when someone else is giving
yes.
a prophecy?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, now you have to realize that there has not been a lot of teaching on prophecy. And as far as I know, I'm the only person I ever knew that did workshops. I don't know of anybody else who's done workshops in this methodology. Therefore, people just come to prayer meetings, they hear nice things being said, and then they just say, oh, when I get time, I'm just going to say something nice. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it doesn't touch your spirit. Mm-hmm. If it's of the Lord,
exactly.
If it's anointed, and that degrees of anointing, it's going to touch your spirit. And that's what we look for, because any gift of the Spirit basically is going to lift you up, edify you, want you to bring you to a deeper desire to praise and worship the Lord or reach out in love to people. It's going to bear good fruit. Now, basically what you're talking about is discernment.
Yeah,
you're saying
exactly.
You're discerning it and saying that's not really in the Spirit, and you're free to do that. And when you hear someone give a prophecy or what they say is a prophecy and you don't think it's in the Spirit, you shouldn't respond. Just, oh, okay. But when you hear something that is really authentic, or what you judge as authentic, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
We prayed, and we discovered the block. I prayed through the block, and then she gave me a prophecy that is right on.
Okay, how do you feel about that?
I feel good, peaceful,
do you
warm.
Do you feel you can share the block? If it's personal and you don't want to share it?
No, I can share the block. It was just that I've been put down so much for speaking out. You know, I say something and then everybody says, no, 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 no. And so I was afraid to speak out.
Okay.
So I prayed for the Lord to go in there and give her an experience of speaking out that was very healing for her. And then I asked her to give me a prophecy, and she said, the Lord is giving me health. And she has no idea of the sickness that has been in my life. That has just been incredible. And so the word really was totally confirmed.
Okay, so see how all the gifts work together? All the gifts work together. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. Any other questions? All right.
Is there such a thing as in prophecy to get an idea or solve a problem for somebody?
That would be word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is the Spirit leading you to solve problems, giving you, might be counseling and you have a situation, and all of a sudden something they said at the beginning of the session hooks into something they said at the end of the session. You say, oh, hey, that's right, I see the connection. Remember what I gave you an example yesterday of a priest who had a gallbladder in Manila. He was scheduled to have an operation. And he was in severe pain. We prayed over him, the pain left, and as I was praying for him, I heard the Lord say, fear. So I said, the root cause of your gallbladder is fear. Later on, we were doing inner healing in the afternoon, and as I was going through the 9 months in the womb asking the Lord to heal the trauma, he witnessed after the session, well, in the seventh month, my mother was carrying me, and she told me there was a terrible fire in the neighborhood, and she was so afraid. And the priest said, hey, fear. You talked this morning, your gallbladder was due to fear. This afternoon, you share that. That could be an enlightenment by the Spirit. The priest was able to see the connection. We're going to do a workshop. We're going to talk about wisdom.
I just wanted to mention that all during this thing on prophecy, I got an idea of how to help another family. Our family has been under terrible stress the last couple of years, and I got the idea to work with this other family that we grew up with is under a lot of torment.
Mm-hmm.
And together we'll minister to one another.
Good. Praise God. All right, more questions? And we'll see which way the Lord leads. Jack?
Yes, Father, why hasn't prophecy and the other gifts of Spirit been more prevalent during the history of the church? By that I mean it was, you see it in the earliest centuries of the church, and you see it now in the charismatic movement. What about all those centuries in between? What do you suppose was happening?
There are various answers given, one of which is in the 3rd century when the church was overwhelmed with barbarians, there was no longer small home groups, but was to absorb tremendous numbers of people into the church, and the emphasis went on not so much on the Holy Spirit as organization in good order. How do we set up churches? How do we handle these people? How do we have a uniform code of ritual? And the church went more from the charismatic over to the institutional. And then the great emphasis in the Renaissance and the 1600s was on the intellect, man's great ability to think and to do, and to the rise of science took people away from the great emphasis on belief, more on to the scientific. And even the church tried to become very scientific, and had, to a degree, greater stress was on the intellectual rather than on the affective. The Spirit works through our affectivity. The gifts of the Spirit basically are feminine. They work on the right side of the brain, the feminine side of the brain. So much of the emphasis in the church has been on the institutional, the organizational, because there's, almost 900 million Catholics throughout the world, and you've got to have some type of good order and control. The emphasis has been on the masculine, law, order, reason, intellect, the rational, or the masculine. And that's why so many clergy, for example, have a lot of trouble with the charismatic renewal, because it's so feminine. It's so on the affective side. And the church, to a great degree, has stressed the masculine side, the non-affective. We're saying, be careful of the imagination. Don't get caught up in sentiments now. We learn to follow the Lord by willpower. The just person lives by faith. There's a delicate balance between the masculine and the feminine, between the volitional and the affective. And most of our clergy are heavily masculinized in their approach, because that's the way we've been trained in philosophy and theology. And when you come to the whole charismatic approach, it's so affective, it's so feminine, so Marian, like Mary, huh? And it's difficult for the church, in a way, to keep good order. And we do know there have been some abuses among charismatics, and there'll be abuses in anything. It's not the abuse, it's the use, the good use. So I think what we've done today is covered the word gifts, the inspirational gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. I encourage you, above all, to read everything you can that's good, huh? On these gifts. The more you know about these gifts, the more you treasure them, the more you value them, the more you want to step out in faith. But what the Lord has given you today is very, very powerful. And I would never have believed it years ago if you told me what I'm teaching you. If you told me years and years ago, I would not have believed it. Because in those days, I wasn't so sure I really believed fully that God is love. Now I know. God is love, beyond what we can ask or imagine. So take what we've given you, step out in faith, be led by the Spirit in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.